You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
People, sometimes when you see your favorite celebrities, the energy you get from them is the energy you gave off first.
Ooh, yeah. Deadass. Even the nicest of people, right?
Yes.
And sometimes it just may not be the right time to approach someone. So when do you know when the right time is?
Deadass.
Deadass. Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention. We're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
All right, story time. I'm going to paint the backdrop so that people can understand what happened and where we got to, how we got to this point.
Right.
And how it could have gone wrong.
Okay.
So one of my close friends just recently moved down to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved down with his wife and his daughter. His other daughter was coming down a few weeks later. They had all their stuff delivered in pods. The pod messed up the order and was 14 days behind. They were supposed to be there a day after. All of her medication, because she has asthma, was in the pods.
Right.
They were expecting the pods to come the next day. She ran out of medication and didn't expect to not have her medication. So she's like, you know what? I'm going to chill at home for a little bit. But slowly but surely, she has bad asthma. Her breathing was getting worse. She didn't realize how bad it was going to get because she never lived in Atlanta before. And as you know, pollen out here is bad. Ragweed is bad. It was coming off cold and flu season. So a lot of people have their heat blasting in the house. She didn't realize, but she was getting really, really sick. Ultimately developed a lung infection. At the time, we didn't know it was a lung infection. But just want to paint the backdrop. I had tickets to the basketball game. He had just moved down here. Me and Kay had just flown back from doing Sherry Shepherd. So I was like, yo, I don't want these tickets, these basketball games. You and wifey go to the basketball game. He's like, I bet. He calls me, says, yo, D, wifey, you know, she don't feel too good. I'm just going to the basketball game. Can you just check in on her? Well, I was like, cool, because they live right by us. So me and Kay literally just land off the plane. I call. I said, yo, how you feeling? She's like, can barely talk. I'm like, yo, you don't sound good. Are you sure you're okay? And she's just like, nah, I'm not okay. I said, you want to go to the hospital? She says, I'm going to try to go to an urgent care. She tries to go to the urgent care. I'm in constant contact with her. Me and Kay both in the car now, right? And she sounded worse. I hear her crying because she said, DeVal, the urgent care is closed. They sent me to another one. They're at capacity. We just moved down here. I don't know which hospital to go to. So me and Kay immediately says, yo, bus a U-turn. We're going to go pick her up, take her to the hospital. We go to the urgent care. We pick her up. Get to the hospital. Kay is in there because we pull up right at emergency. And this is asthma we're talking about. At the time, we don't know she has a lung infection, but I grew up with one of my closest cousins, Portia, had asthma, and one of my closest friends, Gasvin, had asthma. And I've been with them where it was they were fine 1 minute, and then the next minute there's an ER run or there's an ambulance being called because they can't breathe. I'm doing about $140 on the highway to get her to the hospital. Like, I'm nervous. She's nervous. Kay's looking at me like, yo, like, she has to be okay. We get to the hospital. We walk up. She registers. And she's, you know, lightheaded. I'm holding, I got my arm around her. We sit down so she can fill out the paperwork. While I sit down so she can fill out the paperwork, I'm holding her to make sure she's okay. I see a lady across from me tap another lady. And in this moment, I've already been in this situation so many times. They recognize who I am. After tapping the other lady, I go back up to the office. I say, hey, we have a breathing issue. They say, oh, it's a cold red. We have a breathing issue outside. So I'm back down there. I'm holding her, rubbing her back while she fills out the paperwork. I notice the lady has now has her phone up. Mm-hmm. And she's scanning in our direction.
And I'm in the car.
Yes, you're in the car. And all I can think about in this moment is, these people are probably saying, ooh, look at DeVal in the hospital with a woman who's not Kay. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get this on camera.
Right.
I decide in that moment not to respond, even though I was fucking pissed, right? And because my friend here cannot breathe. Now, my brother who's moving out here, I've known him since he was 10 years old and I was 14. So we're talking about 30 plus years of friendship. And this is his wife. I'm like, fuck all of the bullshit. They call us in the back. I escort her to the room. I'm worried about her. They said, we got her stable, DeVal. We're going to, you know, she has a slight fever. You know, we're going to make sure she's good. Boom. I said, hey, I'm going to go take Kay home so she can get the kids. Mind you, their daughter was at our house. So we're all doing this together as a family. Yeah. So I walk her in the back. I come out. When I come out, the lady stands up. She goes, Zach, Zach. I was like, really? Like, really? You know what I'm saying? And she's like, oh, it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. You know, where's Kay? I'm like, yo, I got to take Kay home. Like, I'm trying to still be a polite, quote-unquote celebrity. Because to be honest, for me at this point, it's still, like, super brand new. I said, she's in the car. She said, oh, okay, okay, you'll be back. I'll get you when you come back. No, you fucking won't. Like, no, you won't. Like, and the thing that bothered me the most is that I could tell the way people ask questions, right? It wasn't a, oh, where's Kay? Let me get a picture. The question was like, oh, where's Kay? As if you got me. You caught me doing something.
Right, that you shouldn't have been doing.
Right, when I'm walking out and then when she looks around, she sees the car with you.
Because I literally pulled into the little like circle just to let you guys out. And I jumped into the driver's seat because I was waiting for you to let me know, was it going to be something quick? Was, you know, your friend on his way to be with his wife, like, what were we doing next? I know that their daughter, who's also two, you know, was on the way to our house. Like, there was just a lot going on at one time. Yeah.
And to be honest, the reason why we're not saying their names is because they don't, you know, they're not public figures. And what we've learned even through our podcast is that we'll mention a story, we may say a first name or something, and then that person becomes the target of other people's investigation
into
their life.
There's even been times where we haven't said names and people just try to put a story together and then be wrong.
And be wrong. Dead wrong. Dead wrong.
Dead wrong. We got a call from someone who was like, did you say something about something? I was like, that had nothing to do with you. That was like some completely other person. But people be trying to put shit together that don't belong together.
And the way, babe, the way she asked, she was always Kadeen. And then, but here's the thing. People act as if I still can't tell they're recording. Like, you have your phone by your chest, and this is just for y'all who are watching. When you have your phone by your chest and you're scanning as I'm walking by, that's not a normal phone movement. I can tell you're recording. So when you ask, where's Kay? And I say, oh, she's in the car, and then you turn, and then you see that she is in the car.
Right. I was like, oh, let me get all this footage so I can—
You know what I'm saying?
Right. We can corroborate his story.
It's like, yo, like, I'm having a very personal, private moment. My friend could possibly be dying. You know what I'm saying? We find out later she had a lung infection, and if she would have stayed home and went to sleep, there could have been a lot of difficulty with her breathing. So we did the right thing, got her to the hospital. But in that moment, we're not thinking like celebrities, like, you know, but— We'll continue the story when we come back and dissect why this has become an issue for not only us, but for a lot of people we know.
Yeah. Karaoke time.
So now we back.
We're back.
Song is a very simple song. I don't know who sings this song. I really don't care. but this song always reminds me of that episode. Well, it was a stand-up that Martin did. I think it was Run Till That. Well, he said he came outside and the cops was outside and he realized the cops was outside. And then all you could think about in his head was, they looking at me, I'm looking at them, I'm looking at them, they're looking at me. And all I could think of was, sometimes I feel like somebody's watching me and I have my privacy. Whoa. I think that's Michael Jackson.
I was about to say it's Michael Jackson. I'm surprised you were like, didn't know who that was.
The melody came to me.
Oh, yeah.
It's Michael Jackson.
Well, clearly, because he had to deal with a lot too.
Facts.
As a, you know, facts. A huge worldwide celebrity. So. But yeah, sometimes we be feeling like people be watching us. We be watching y'all watching us sometimes too. Until y'all figure out that we know that you're watching us.
Yes.
And then that's usually when someone comes by like, sorry to bother you.
Right.
But I'm going to bother you real quick.
Right.
It's all love though. All right. Let's go pay some bills and we're going to come back and we'll talk more about the story time and today's topic, which is fandom.
Fan decorum.
Fan decorum.
Or fame decorum.
Fame decorum. Because more so than anything.
There requires decorum on both sides.
Oh, for sure. Right? Absolutely. All right, y'all. We'll be back.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us, and it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact, and the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Y'all, let me tell you, after the Love Against the World tour, my social battery is depleted, drained, no energy. How do you feel, babe?
I don't know. You know, it can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up one after another in the wintertime.
That's a fact. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge after that? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time like me.
You know what? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/deadass.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right. So yeah, that story time, it was funny because in that moment we were all just so concerned about all the moving parts. You know, we were trying to assist them with the move here. We have our 4 kids. They have their daughter. You know, then it's like all the family members on deck trying to help out.
Yeah.
So if in that moment you handled it differently and within your panic for her, right? Yeah. And trying to sort that out, knowing too that you still like just got off a plane, have to get home, there's stuff you have to do. You could have reacted very differently to the young lady who was like, you know, Zach. And
the truth is, it wasn't a young lady neither.
Oh, it wasn't.
It wasn't a young lady. She was definitely of age to understand
and know better
what was happening, you know?
And yeah, for sure. But I can see how if you were to reply the way you really wanted to reply to her, then it's going to be like, oh, you know, he's mean or he's nasty, you know, not taking into consideration like, wow, we're actually in an emergency room.
In an emergency room.
Like, that's the biggest, I think if there's any place that requires a level of privacy and decorum that people have, it should be a hospital, right? And this is anybody. This is not someone who's super famous or just, you know, your roundaway girl.
As a person.
A hospital is such a super private, sensitive space for anyone. So the fact that somebody had, because I've been in doctor type environments and places where I've even called on the phone to make an appointment. And I can tell when I give my name on the phone that somebody might recognize who they're speaking to.
Right.
You know, and for the most part, people maintain a level of professionalism.
I would say 95% of the time.
Listen to me, professionalism. Professionalism.
Lackadaisical.
Listen.
Lackadaisical.
Oh, right. Jackson plays that video over again. Sorry, my coffee hasn't set in yet, y'all. But yeah, most time, I think people have a level of decorum that they do maintain.
Yes.
But every now and again, that 5% or that 2%, you know, and I get it because in that moment, you think, wow, there's however many billion people in this world.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances that in this moment, in this space, in this time, I am bumping into somebody who I either watch on TV, admire, listen to the podcast?
Right.
Like, am I going to have this moment again? And I completely get that. On the other side, where people who love and admire us and support us are just like, wow, what are the chances that our worlds collided in this moment? Like, this is my opportunity to say hello, you know?
Well, the only thing that bothers me with people, and this is the way they deal with other people, regardless of whether they're celebrities or not. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I'm in a Walmart over
there,
and there's a disagreement between two young women, and they ask to speak to, you know, bring the manager.
Mm-hmm.
The manager comes out. The minute he comes out, this woman is in his face. Da, 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 da. And he says, excuse me, man, calm down. I'm going to help assist you. You know, can you just tell me what happened? She's screaming and cursing out. He said, man, what makes you think that, like, you can just talk to me like that? Her response is the response that we always hear when people don't understand someone else's job description or perfection. They say, well, you signed up for the job. You know what it was. I'm the customer. The customer's always right. Ma'am, just because that person has a job doesn't mean that you reserve the right to disrespect them.
Right.
At any point. They're a human. It doesn't matter if they're a celebrity, if they're a manager at Walmart, if they're the ticket guy at the movie theater.
Or they're the janitor. Like, it does not matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yes.
And people say this all the time. You knew what the job was. You signed up for this. No one signs up to get disrespected.
Nope.
Period. Like, because I don't care what your job description is.
Because when you get disrespected back, people are human beings.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So when you get disrespected back or the energy that you put out, you get a dose of that in return.
Yes.
Don't then play victim.
Facts.
Don't then play victim and act like you don't know how we got here.
Facts.
You started it.
Facts.
You started it. And you're not going to meet people all the time who are willing to back down from confrontation. I know my husband enough to know, y'all, DeVal is not going to back down from confrontation.
I'm not. And I've been there with a dude one time. I've been there with a dude. Remember, it's me, Jackson, and Cairo. We were getting on a plane to go to New York. And we're coming from Atlanta, and this dude, younger looking dude, he's just like, yo, DeVal, like he got excited. I said, yo, yo, DeVal, yo, I'm from Orangeburg too. We could be cousins. I'm like.
And usually we match y'all excited. Yeah, when we
so
see
like,
you. You know what I'm saying?
I say to him, I said, yo, let's get a flick then, cuz. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, yo, I want the boys too. If y'all know me, y'all know I'm always going to ask my children if they feel like taking a picture because I never want them to feel like they're circus animals and have to do what other people want them to do.
I stopped asking them. I just say no.
Yeah, you
I
say no.
I just respectfully say no. You can have a photo with me, but
right. We'll
just leave the children out of it.
And you reserve the right to do, especially with the super young ones, because you're typically traveling with Kaz and Dakota.
And I'm Mama Bear too, so.
So I asked them, and typically Jackson is a little bit more like, cool. It's early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Our flight is first flight out. Cairo's like, I really don't feel like it. So then Jackson says, I'll stand on the side, because Jackson was going to take it. I'll stand on the side
and hold Cairo.
With Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, all right, cool. They're going to step aside. Come on, take the picture. He looked at me and was just like, so they really not going to take the picture? I still remained calm. I said, nah, like, nah, they're not taking the picture. But you can get the picture with me, cuz. Like, I'm still trying to keep it light. And he like, wow, I support y'all. I do everything, all I do. You know what I'm saying? I can't even get a picture. So now at this point, I said, yo, my man, real
good
talk.
Good thing I wasn't there.
You holding me up. I'm trying to get on this flight. If you want the picture, you could take the picture.
Right.
So then he goes to put his arm around me and he kind of take the picture like he was reluctant. And I'm seeing Jackson and Cairo look confused. And I said, you know what? I ain't going to take this picture, man. You ruined the moment, bro. He's like, how I ruined the moment? I said, yo, watch your mouth. Don't. If you say something about my kids, it can get real serious. And I think in that moment, he realized
that
now you have DeVal the father, not DeVal the entertainer that likes to make people laugh.
Right.
And he was just like, oh, my fault. It ain't even like that. And I'm like, well, it's going to get like that if you don't get the fuck out my face now. Because now I'm getting pissed and my sons look a little nervous and I don't know you. And it's like, now he takes that and who knows what he says?
Right.
I was an asshole. I was aggressive. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And for me, sometimes it's like, damn, sometimes I don't want to be so nice because when I move my boundaries to accommodate people who may be excited, then it blurs the lines and they feel like there are no boundaries.
Right.
And then when they feel like there are no boundaries, they feel like they're entitled to something that's just seriously just a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have to give you a picture, but I'm always going to give people who support me pictures of me.
Mm-hmm.
When my kids are there,
right.
If my wife's not in the mood, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? And I want to speak to two people because we do have friends who are becoming celebrities, who are celebrities, athletes who watch, who also listen.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly feel like as a person who constantly asks people to support their projects, support their art, to buy their products, I feel like you have a fiduciary responsibility to be kind and take people when they see you in public. That's me.
Yeah, I feel the same way too,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
With that being said, we're in an emergency room. I'm at dinner. Putting a piece of steak in my mouth and you don't ask, but now I see a light shining on me and my family while we're eating dinner.
Yeah, I have a similar story. I have several actually of people just recording me. The weirdest ones for me were always when in the moment someone may see me with the children, see me with you out with my sister, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of in the moment just coming over and saying, hey, hello, just wanted to say hi, because I'll always say hello back. It's recording a video of me or taking a picture and then DMing me later.
Yeah.
And I may randomly come across it like, hey, I saw you and your sister earlier in Hobby Lobby or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, okay, so you didn't say hi in the moment, but you took a picture of me and my sister looking at ornaments and you just didn't say hello in the moment. Like, which one is more weird to me? Would it have been more weird for you to say hello and just acknowledge me in the moment? And then we have a little exchange. Because if I was looking for Christmas ornaments, I probably would have been excited. I would have told you what to get.
Yeah, you was in a good mood.
I'd have helped you with your Christmas decor. I'd have done all that, you know? So that is always kind of off-putting for me. But I do have an instance one time where, you guys know I like to take my boys on mommy son dates.
Mm-hmm.
And you were out of town filming at this point. I think you were in Canada. And it was a Friday night. Didn't feel like cooking. I'm like, you know what? I'll take the three oldest boys for dinner. So we go to one of my favorite restaurants. And they seat me in the back. And it was kind of like a tight kind of booth situation, but it was a booth where a couple could sit on one end of the booth and then I was able to sit with the three boys on the other end of the booth. But it was still within close proximity.
Right.
So it was another black couple, which I'm like, cool, because in this area I don't often see black couples where the restaurant is. So, you know, I say hello, just being polite. And I saw the woman in the duo kind of like perk up. Like she probably recognized right. who I was. So then she like pulled her phone out and then I saw her like showing her husband. So maybe she was showing her husband. Because we can always tell that too when like right. someone pulls the phone out and then you're trying to be like, that's who they are.
Right.
So that was transpiring. So just to be polite, because we were sitting in such close quarters, we exchanged a couple words.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and just being nice.
Just
being
nice, being human in right. the present moment. Made no mention of who I was or who Jackson or my kids were. You know, no mention right. of that. But I'm also not pretentious enough to think that people always know who I am right, when right, I right. go places.
Right, because sometimes it's not.
Because sometimes people don't know yeah. and don't care, which right. is fine too. But I could tell in this moment that, you know, yeah. she was sitting there and she definitely knew who we were. So my kids ordered 36 oysters. We're having a good time. We're eating. It's towards the end of the night because we both were kind of eating along the same path. Like they were wrapping up around the time we were wrapping up. So I don't know if this is when she thought this was her time to try to get a photo.
Right.
But instead of asking for one, she holds her camera up to take a picture and she's literally like within maybe 4 feet of me and takes the picture and the flash goes off. So once the flash goes off, that's when I get annoyed.
Right.
And then I look over her and I'm just staring at her in the face right now. And she's fumbling with her phone and she's like, oh, babe, I told you my phone was malfunctioning and I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. And he looked so embarrassed.
Yeah, I've seen.
He looked so embarrassed and he like was looking at her and then
like,
she.
Like,
then,
I can't believe you did that.
Right, I can't believe you did that. And I'm just staring at her in her face like, girl, you got caught. Like, I know you were trying to take a photo of me or the kids or whatever. And then she turns, and then at this point now, she doesn't even like let up. She probably finds a way to take her flash off. And then I see her like trying to hold the phone up in a way that it was inconspicuous, but I'm like, she's yeah. still trying to take a picture. And the only reason why I didn't press her in that moment was because I was with the boys.
Yeah. And you don't want them and to see that interaction.
Yeah, yeah. I was with the boys. And then Jackson was like, she definitely took a picture of us.
Cause they know.
Cause he knew. He was like, why didn't you just ask for a picture? You would have right. took it. Because the kids know too, like, we're always going to be the
always.
Ones to just say, sure, no problem.
Always.
Y'all catch me at 5 a.m. in the airport at Hartsfield. Come over for a picture. I'm going to look crazy, but I'm going to take the picture. And this is what it is.
That's what's important to say is that we do feel as people who constantly ask and appreciate the support that people give us. We don't care what we look like, how early in the morning it is. If you see me, you see Kay, come take a picture. Like, yep. come say what's up. But it does bother us.
Now, if you have a snap filter, you know, I don't mind if you take a picture in Snapchat. Like, do your girl a solid and let's put a filter on
don't
that
Don't put
bitch,
no filters on me because I'm tired of looking at pictures of me later and I got lashes and blush. Like, I'm tired of seeing pictures and I'm like, why do I got lashes and blush? But it is what it is. Like, hey, if that's the picture
I'll
you want.
I'll take the lashes and the blush, okay? Especially if it's 5 a.m. and you approach me at the airport.
But this is what I'm going to say next is very important for people to understand. Mm-hmm. We live in a day and age now where digital content moves faster than it did, like, than regular analog magazines and newspapers back in the day.
Absolutely.
I remember when I was younger and I go to the supermarket with my Aunt Debbie and my mother, right? And the National Enquirer or National Inquisitor was like the magazine. That's like the Shade Room.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, right? And I remember going to pick it up and then my grandmother, my aunt being like, man, put that down, man. That's not even real news. But then I remember other aunts
mm-hmm.
being like, girl, that is the real news. Because that's, you know what I'm saying? They give you the real and
columns.
Honest. It was gossip columns.
Yeah.
But that stuff was so, like, it moved so slow back in the day where now, when you end up on a gossip column,
mm-hmm.
that becomes people's reality because there is a segment of the population who only exists in a digital space.
Right.
And what they see on some of these blogs and gossip columns, they honestly think that it's real.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Because there's no cross-referencing
right.
from a journalistic standpoint. Like back in the day, you can only access personal celebrities or they're
right.
personalized if they gave in like a tell-all
right.
or an exclusive or they wrote a book or they sat down with like Barbara Walters. Like
right.
that's when you were able to get that access. But now social media has created kind of a new kind of celebrity that thrives off of sharing more about their personal life. And people
right.
are just soaking it up because they feel like,
No.
They're not just
soaking it up. People are taking from people and using that to create their own content, which is what other people don't understand. There was an article that was released that companies started to find black celebrities
mm-hmm.
and release false stories with AI included to get clicks.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So what happens is dude at the airport, dude at the airport or even the young lady at the hospital, she takes the footage she has. She then takes that footage and just says, I found DeVal at the hospital with another woman, getting a procedure done, K is nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because people want clickbait.
Mm-hmm.
So then people start clicking on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then people start commenting
right.
on it. And then the commentary becomes the reality.
I knew something was wrong with the Melissa's.
Becomes the reality.
Right.
And then what happens, and this is the scary part, the next interaction you have with someone may come from someone who exists in that space.
Oh, yeah.
And now they give you the energy from what they think is real.
For sure.
And now you respond to that with negative energy and it compounds.
So your next airport situation is going to be like, I can't believe you got getting in them four whole boys
you see
at
what
home
I'm saying?
And you in the hospital with some chick late at night.
You see what I'm saying? And then your response is, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
And then she's like, oh, he cursed at me. And then it's like he has another bad incident at the airport.
Yeah.
I'll tell you exactly how this happened. Remember when I was telling the stories about me getting stopped at the courthouse?
Yes.
And how Zach gets yes. DeVal in trouble?
Yes, yes, yes.
There was a group on Facebook that created this whole thing about how DeVal is getting too big for who he is. Not realizing that the stories I'm telling is part of jokes. They're jokes. They're stories. They're real stories, but
wait,
it's
so
jokes.
They're saying that you're too big for who you are now because you wouldn't talk to people in court or something like
no,
that?
No. The thing was they were just like, this is what happens when they didn't even listen to the story.
Okay.
The commentary came from the title that, because remember I put Zach gets DeVal in trouble.
Right.
So the title was DeVal Ellis finds himself in court again amongst trouble.
Oh, wow.
So they used the clickbait to get people to click on it, not listening to the story.
Yeah.
But then the commentary that ensued was just like, these niggas get too big. Now he in trouble.
Right.
This is what happens. But then
right.
that becomes someone's reality not real.
Of you. So then you're potentially losing support from someone because it's just like, oh, like what happened to Humble DeVal?
Right.
He ain't no more. So I don't want to follow him anymore. Yep. No, I get
it. And when these people walk around with phones and they just capture parts of your life so that they can create a narrative for themselves so that they can get clickbait,
mm-hmm.
not only are you stealing my likeness,
mm-hmm.
but you are making it difficult for me and my family to move in certain spaces because you're creating a whole narrative that does not exist. And to me, that's my plea
mm-hmm.
for people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop asking me for pictures. Don't stop coming to get a selfie and get a hug or give me words of encouragement or ask, please, let's interact together. But stop taking pictures of me and my family or taking small moments that don't belong to you
mm-hmm.
to present to your audience
mm-hmm.
as a way for you to get clickbaits and making it difficult for me.
Right.
That's what bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
And the entitlement to feel like, well, you knew what it was when you signed up reminded me of the manager at Walmart.
Right.
When the lady said, this was your job, you knew what it signed up. Like, you honestly feel like you can curse that man out because he's the manager at Walmart?
Yeah.
Like just like you said, the janitor's cleaning and people come by and just throw stuff on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, man, can you just throw that in the garbage? Oh, man, do your job. You sign up for this. Like, how you say that to people?
No, I remember just recently we were at a Hawks game and someone came over to say hello. It was a fan, came over to say hello to you
mm-hmm.
and accidentally kicked your drink over.
Yes.
And it was like the whole floor was saturated where we were. And one of the custodians came over with his mop to mop.
Yeah.
And you took the mop from him and yes. you mopped around my area and your area.
Yes.
And handed it back to him and said hello. And he was just like, man, I watch your show and all that.
Yeah.
So it was a little moment y'all exchanged. And then he walked away. And then the young man that was sitting next to me was just like, wow, that was really nice of you to like take the mop and mop the floor.
Yeah.
You know, and help him out in that moment because most people wouldn't have done that. And I'm just like, people wouldn't have done that? Like, I you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just so innate for us to just.
To be of service to people.
Be personable.
And
like,
see all people as humans.
Absolutely.
See all people as humans. But the sad truth is a lot of people don't see quote unquote celebrities. And I hate even using that term. They don't see you as human.
Yeah.
You're just always their entertainment.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're on TV or on the phone. Now your real life becomes their entertainment. We see it all the time where even with Cam Newton,
mm-hmm.
right? Getting assaulted. Well, I can't say he got assaulted. Because he jumped three people. Y'all got to realize this too. Sometimes y'all see people and y'all don't realize how big and strong they are. And you say things in real life that you probably only say
right.
in the comment section. And then you get dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And now those young men are having a tour talking about what Cam did to them. And I'm just like, yo, we seen the footage
First of all,
y'all getting manhandled.
If you've seen him in person, there's no bone in my body that would make me think to fight or jump Cam Newton.
He is a statue,
okay?
He is legit 6'5", 260.
Solid.
And he used to shrug off NFL DNs for a living.
Right.
And those men are 6'5", 300 pounds, and he's shrugging him off while holding on to the ball and looking downfield. And you think that you're going to take down Cam Newton? But here's the thing. Even in that, people were saying, yo, he Cam Newton, he talking trash. We talk trash. It comes with the territory. You Cam Newton, you come back, we're going to talk trash to you. It's like, man.
It's abuse, borderline, y'all.
It is.
Like, come on.
No one signs up to take any job to get verbally abused all the time.
Yeah, I know athletes deal with it a lot, too.
Cyber abused. No one signs up to get cyber abused. Like, and I, for one, have taken on the mantra that I'm not going to read the comments, or I'm not going to read a lot of stuff, because even though 95% of the comments we receive are kind from the people who really support us.
Yeah, we love y'all. Y'all
rock
all
with
the
us.
Time.
And we rock. We That's why we always tell y'all, if y'all see us in public, come say what's up. Let's get a pound. Let's share some words. Let's get a picture or a video.
Yes.
But there's always the 5% that's looking for their own way to make their mark. And sometimes it's easier for them to try to tear you down than to sit next to you and be like, hey, how can I?
Do you think that, so, back in the day, like we said, personal access to celebrities' lives or anything on their personal side was really a treat. Like, you couldn't get that often. But now with social media, it's created like this new kind of celebrity that thrives off of sharing more about their personal lives, you having access to the personal lives and feeling connected with them in that space. For you, because I know that when I met you, you've always said that you wanted to be famous.
Yes.
So that way you can help people. That was like your biggest thing.
Yes.
And you didn't know at the time in what capacity that would be, but you just knew that that was your purpose. Now, in this day and age with social media and people feeling entitled to you and your life and access, do you think you would have reconsidered wanting to be famous?
No. I still want to be famous and even more powerful, because I am inspired by people like Michael Jackson, like Will Smith, like Muhammad Ali, who utilize their fame to be kind to people. Mm. Like, I just want to be kind. Anyone who's ever met me in person will tell you, I really just want to love on people, and I want to receive love.
Yeah.
And I want to show that it doesn't matter what your job description is, how much money you make. We're all just people.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Lee was also somebody else who I inspired to be like, was of the people.
Mm-hmm.
He was carried out of his movie, the Enter the Dragon. The Big Boss. He was carried out of the movie theater in China by thousands of people in China. And he stayed there with the people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that to me is the greatest power you have as a person. When you've made so much money and you have so much power, but you still have the ability to be of the people.
And connect with the people.
That's true power.
Yeah.
Because I also want to be able, knowing where our people have come from, you know, Black American people, West Indian Black Americans. I want to be able to help those who don't have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be a vessel, right? I want to be able to say, and not always on large scales, but you've watched me do this at Prototype.
Yeah.
That young man deserves an opportunity in college.
Yeah.
It's going to cost a couple grand. Let me put a phone call in, tell them who I am, and I'm going to support this young man, but we're also going to help them financially.
Mm-hmm.
And then we watch young men like that, like Roger, now own his own business and now mentoring a bunch of other people. You just hit me 2 weeks ago. It's a young Caribbean woman at Hofstra.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. So after doing the doc, reconnected with one of my Jamaican sisters over at Hofstra. She's also working there still.
Mm-hmm.
And she contacted me because, as a young lady, she said, is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Came up from Jamaica. She needs assistance.
Right.
And she was like, you know, are you connected to anyone who does, you know, any kind of Caribbean Society scholarship funds or Jamaican specifically? And knowing that I have a good relationship with the Council General, she said, does she have any resources? And I was just like, what's her balance? Like, what are we working with here? And she told me, and I said, I'll cover it.
Just like that, babe.
I'll cover it.
Now, let me ask you a question. How did that feel?
Amazing. This young lady wrote me the most beautiful email.
I see you about to cry. I see you about to cry. But you see this feeling you have? This is why I would never regret wanting to be famous or wanting to be powerful. Because not only did you give her something that she can tangibly walk away and say, Kay gave me this, but you also gave her inspiration, because she's a Caribbean girl from an island, just like your mom, who grew up just like you.
It literally made me think of my mother.
You see what I'm saying?
It made me think of my mom coming up here at what, she was 17?
Mm-hmm.
No help. the oldest of six, parents are like, you got to go make something of yourself, now, figure it out.
And now look.
My mother was sleeping in random friends, you know, of family houses, mm-hmm. getting locked out of places because she was out late studying. Like, I literally saw my mom in that young lady and I was like, what does she need?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? And I asked her. After that, she was super grateful, sent me a beautifully well. I'm like, people don't write this well right. anymore, you know? Right. But it was a beautiful, well-written email where she was super grateful. And she said that she will make it her point to make me and her family proud because she's so grateful for the help. And she was going to keep me abreast of, because I was going to ask her to keep me abreast of her right. studies. I want to see her grades. Like, that's the yeah. thing. If I'm going to be assisting, yeah. you have to do your part as well, too. But knowing that my friend had vouched for her and was just like, she's such a good kid.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to stay abreast of her grades, make sure that she's doing well, that she's okay. And then for future semesters, talking to her about right. what her plan is going to be able to get the financial assistance that she needs. So it's then putting again, but then also too, this is not something that I'm doing and I'm blasting on social media.
Right.
Like I haven't told anybody, you guys, I didn't even know you were going to talk about it today, but these are things that we, with our reach and with right. our resources, are able to do because that's the way. I don't even do it for the blessing that will come later. I right. do it for what it is in the moment because people genuinely need help and
yes.
people genuinely are trying.
Yes.
You know, and I know what it was like going to school and trying to get the scholarship money, not wanting to be all on our parents and mm-hmm. working, you know, mm-hmm. to have our little side money to do whatever it is we wanted to do and being able to graduate debt-free from school. Like, those are things and blessings that I want other people to experience.
So let me ask you a question. Being that you could be a blessing to someone else, why would you ever regret the power you have now?
No, you're right.
That's why, and nothing can deter me from it. No, nobody with a picture in an airport yeah. or a hospital
yeah.
can deter me from doing what that
it's
to me is why I've been given in abundance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like God only, another one of my favorite people is Bob Marley,
mm-hmm.
right? And we went to go see his house in Jamaica and they talked about how Bob gave most of his riches away.
Mm-hmm.
People would stand outside his house and he would give, they called it penance.
Mm-hmm.
When he would just, whatever he had in the moment, he would give to the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God provides you with abundance. God does not provide you with abundance to sit up on an ivory tower and tell everybody else how to do things.
Right.
No, you can't take this when you die.
Nope.
It is not yours.
Nope.
So you have a responsibility to share everything. And when I say share everything, it's not just money.
Mm-hmm.
Share your wisdom, share your kindness, but most
your
importantly,
time.
Share your humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You have to share your humanity.
Yeah.
And that's why when we talk about decorum, it's not just about decorum for people who you inspire, but also decorum for people who choose to inspire,
mm-hmm.
right? If you choose to be a celebrity and you're going to go on your Instagram or TV, buy my books, buy my t-shirts,
mm-hmm.
watch my movies, go.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see people, give them poor energy because
for
it's
sure.
like, I can't just talk to
or
you.
Or act as if you're untouchable or you're not reachable or tangible. Like, that's wild
that's,
to me.
Well, that's just as wild
it's
as
wild
the person
to
that's going
to
hold up a phone
right.
and record you.
Right. And I get that people have off moments and they have off days. Like,
absolutely.
For example, something I do when I travel and I'm like, you know what? Say it is the 6 a.m. flight that I'm there for. I'm at the airport 4:30 in the morning. And I know, man, I'm a little funky right now. I haven't had my coffee. Like, I just want to be left alone. I'll put a mask and a hoodie on and keep
yeah.
it moving. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
that's the beauty in coming out of the pandemic. You can wear a mask and people won't question you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just me also just not inviting that attention because I know in that moment I may not be in the mood for it. You know? So I think as... It's just read the moment. To test the barometer in that moment and in that space and see, is this the right time on either side to make that approach?
It's funny you say that, right? Because I didn't even think about this moment, but this is actually a very important moment. When you first walk in the Delta part of the airport,
mm-hmm.
there's a young lady who works at the kiosk. Well, not a young lady. I say young lady because she's about 60-something years old. And I always say, good morning, young lady. She sees me all the time because we travel like 4 or 5 times a month.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees me early in the morning, she sees me late at night. And she said to me, one day I took a picture with some people
mm-hmm.
and she could tell my energy was low.
Yeah.
And she was just like, sweetheart, can I talk to you for a minute? And I'm always going to give like my elders the respect. And I was like, of course. Like, I don't have time, of course. She was just like, your energy was low this morning. And I was just like, yeah, it was a little low. And she was just like, maybe sometimes it's okay for you to say no. That you don't want to take any pictures because you keep giving to everyone. He said, every time you come in this airport, you get stopped the minute you walk in here
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to give people. But sometimes it may be better for you not to give people low energy and just say maybe next time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of made me think, like,
because you don't think that it's okay to say next time.
Yeah, I don't think it's okay to say next time.
We put ourselves in the other person's shoes and be like, they probably think there won't be a next time.
Right.
You know? So I'm like, if this is a moment, again, where our worlds collide, like, why not just take the moment to be nice in this moment?
Right.
At Tyler Perry's grand opening for the studio back in 2019, I walked alongside Beyonce.
I know.
Y'all know how I feel about my girl Beyonce.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Walked alongside her. She looked at my dress. I looked at her dress. She was like, that's a nice dress. And I was like, thanks.
Kate,
that would have been my moment to be like, you know, vomit of the mouth and just tell her all the things that I'm sure she's heard from people and everything. Yeah. But I played it cool and I told her, thank you. I loved her dress too. And we just kept walking. And you went over and you spoke to Jay.
Yeah.
And why didn't you go talk to Beyonce? Like, this is your moment. And I was just kind of like, you know what? No, she's enjoying this moment as well.
Yeah.
There will be more moments when I'm going to see. I already just, like, I manifested that. I just put it out there. I'm like, I'm going to see her again. And I'm going to be in a space where I'm in a better situation to have one-on-one time with her, to talk to her and say the things that I want to say to her. And that's just what I manifested. Because I could have in that moment just been like, I'd have jumped on her back, girl, and we'd have walked down the red carpet together. You know what I'm saying? But I just,
Julius
in that moment,
allowed
said,
you to jump on her back.
Nah, I know, Julius was definitely close by. And even though it was a safe, very, like, you know, contained space for everyone, I just felt like in that moment, like, you know what, let her enjoy this. She probably gets that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and she did get that from a lot of people who were at that event as well, too. But I just took it as a moment to say, you know what, I'm going to have my moment with Beyonce. It's going to happen, so. But I can understand how people feel like this is my time. Like, who would have thought?
That's what I told the lady at the airport. I was just like, yo, like, I don't know. My energy's low, but I can't tell them no, because what if I don't see them? And then all they remember is the vow brushed me off for a picture.
Yeah.
And she said, ooh, she said, I could not be famous because these motherfuckers, child. She said, and I said, I know, but I told her, I said, but these motherfuckers also make me who I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was just like, that is true. That is true. She said, you can have all that. Which to me is like an understanding. It's an understanding that I don't want that.
Yeah.
For me, the understanding is I do want that.
I do want
so
that.
So with that comes this, you know?
To answer the question that I asked you, if I would, you know, in retrospect now, considering the way things are with social media and proximity and people feeling like they're entitled to you and your access, I think the only thing that I would have adjusted is
the kids.
The kids.
I knew he was going to say that. I feel the same way too, because they didn't ask for this.
They didn't ask for it.
They didn't ask for this.
And to be honest, when we started this whole social media thing, we didn't think it was going to be all this.
I did, because social media wasn't this.
It wasn't.
When we first started.
No, it was wasn't like, this. You had like 300 followers, 3,000 followers. You're like, okay, cool. But then you have 1.3 million people who then support now. And it's like, everybody feels like they know the children. Yeah. They call them by name. Like, but our kids know, like, you don't answer to anyone calling your name. You don't, like, you know, even in just their school environments, people know who they are. Yeah. And
I agree with you on that.
People are super respectful, but that's my only, like, regret is involving the children. I would have been the one that was putting emojis over my kids' face. Now, like, I get why some people are just like protective. They're going to post the back of their kids' heads and whatnot. You know, I'd be like, just don't post them at all. But, you know people do what they want to do.
I
get it though.
The larger you get, the more popular and famous you get. It is difficult on kids. You know, I got to say this.
Mm-hmm.
I watch what Bronny goes through trying to be a young man, navigate the world.
Yeah.
And he gets so much hate.
Bruh.
From people. And the thing is, they didn't have Bronny in the media like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't have a social media page when he was 10 and 13 and saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. He was really keeping his head down and focused on working on his craft.
Yeah.
But then you have hundreds of millions of people. Yes, grown-ass adults.
Adults especially.
And once again, most of the audience supports Bronny. But when most of the audience is 150 million people, but then there's 5 million people who are preying on your downfall. It may not seem like a lot because you have 150 million, but that 5 million constantly coming at you can be a lot. And watching him go through that is the reason why people ask me, how come you don't have a social media just for the kids?
You know.
I said, because that's not, and people say now, y'all don't show the kids as much. Y'all cut back a lot on the kids. I'm like, yeah, because they need to have their own space to decide if they want to take on that.
Right.
They don't have to be inherit. They don't have to inherit that level of intrusiveness.
Right. It's true. Know? And the people are still going to create their own stories anyway. Yeah. At one point, I remember someone commenting or saying that, and this is when I used to read the comments like years ago. I don't do it anymore, especially after the whole debacle with our viral moment with the monogamy episode, then me miscarrying our baby and all that. But prior to that, I remember someone saying, like, it's clear that I favor Cairo out of all of the boys. At this time, Dakota wasn't around. It was just Jackson, Cairo, and Kaz.
Right.
I favor Cairo because I post him more because, and right. I don't post Kaz or something like that. Right. And I was like, where the fuck did you get that from? I said, Cairo loves the camera. Cairo has been holding the camera in his phone since he was a year, speaking his little language and taking his own videos, and he loved it. And it was entertaining for us, and we shared it.
Yeah.
But then it made me feel like, damn, like, so here I am sharing what are technically private family moments that I could just keep to myself, but I'm here spreading joy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The joy that I feel for my sons. And then there's a narrative going around that I have a favorite kid, like, how did that happen? Kaz is like, fuck y'all. Kaz could care less about the camera. And he's still like that to this day. So we let him rock because we're not stage parents.
Nah, even on stage in Atlanta, I was like, you want to come out with your brothers? I asked all of them. Yes. Cairo, you on the mic? Absolutely. Kaz, you want to say something? Nah.
Nah. And that's just his personality.
And that's just it. He's like, nah, I'm good on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple facts and stats that Tribble found for us that we're going to use to round out this episode. Fandom, facts and stats, allows people with similar interests to form a supportive community that fosters feelings of acceptance for people involved. But toxic fandom can easily be created with fan groups because of the intense enthusiasm the fan community fosters and supports. Fandom becomes toxic when it starts to create possessiveness.
There you go.
Entitlement. And feelings of superiority for fans that are of a certain art or artist. Now, how to act if you see a celebrity in public. And it's funny because, like DeVal said, like, we literally don't see ourselves as celebrities.
People still ask us all the time, like, yo, y'all just be walking in the airport, no security. Yes. Because I still got to get on the plane like everybody else.
Yeah.
And I really just don't feel like I need security.
Like, y'all have to go back to Brooklyn and y'all be like,
yes, I still go to the bodega. I still go to the corner store. Like, yes. I get my car done. I go, you know, I still go to court. I got a speeding ticket. I go to court.
We still do a lot of, and then people are like, well, can't you get somebody to do that for you? And I'm just like, but why? I could do it. I'm here, you know?
But the truth is, though, even the judge told me when I went to court the last time. He pulled me aside and said, you have to have someone come in for you. Because I can't contain the court if people are going to be taking pictures. And I didn't realize it was that big a deal.
No, it is.
And he said to me, he said that, you know, ordering the court is a thing, Mr. Ellis. Ordering the court. If I ask you if you're a celebrity.
I object. That's my favorite. You can't handle the truth. That's my other favorite.
He asked me, he was just like, if I ask you if you're a celebrity, you have to tell me the truth. Because if it creates disorder in the court or creates a problem for safety for you, someone else, for me, that's a problem.
Mm.
And that in that moment, I realized that he wasn't joking.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, in the future, you can have an attorney step in your place and he can do things like this. And he was dead serious. He was not saying, he's telling you this is what you should do. And
this
this
is the protocol now.
Yeah, and I was okay, well, I guess I have to listen. Like, if the judge is saying, like, is this, and he asked him, he was just like, you don't think you're a celebrity? And I was like, no. He said, I can tell. And he said, you'll probably be a celebrity a long time because of your humble attitude. But everyone back there in my office knows who you are. And clearly them three women there who were trying to take pictures and video know who you are.
Right.
So he's like, you can't ignore that.
Yeah.
And then he, you know,
I guess
gave me my citation.
Right. So he didn't let you off? Come on, judge.
He knocked it down. So I didn't get any points on my license, but
no,
I was also a first-time offender in Atlanta, so
right.
You know, and I paid a very hefty fine because typically that's what it is. It's about paying the fine.
Yours is heftier than mine, Joe.
But he did like remind me in that moment, like you can't take for granted the fact that you have a fan base. It was good counsel.
It was good counsel. So how to act if you see a celebrity in public? Be polite and act normal. Celebrities know they're famous.
No, they don't.
They'll appreciate being treated like regular people, which is,
that is true.
Like that. And be polite and normal because we're going to be polite and normal too. It's funny when people come up to you and expect you to be Zach or they expect us to be like DeVal and Kadeem, like when we're doing skits as actors. And then when they see that like we don't have that like high energy sometimes, they're just like, y'all good?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, we're good. We're just...
just chilling.
Trying to catch a flight. Like, you know, yeah. just out to eat. You know, normal stuff.
Like, what you want, Kay, to drop it?
Right now? Like, I think they would.
I would.
Don't touch them. That's the next one. Would you like a stranger to touch you without permission? Consent is required for everyone. Touching is probably my least favorite thing because I'm a huge germaphobe. But if you want to ask for a hug or you want to give me a pound or high five or whatever it may be, or arm around the shoulder for a photo, just ask. It's all good.
It's very different for women because there is a dynamic here of abuse and abuse with women in society. Mm-hmm. So I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Me personally, women come up and run up and hug me and they grab me and stuff. I embrace them and, you know, take pictures and stuff because I know the excitement.
Yeah.
I don't feel intimidated, you know, by it. But I do understand where you're coming from because as a woman, you don't want some dude just come up and just hug you like that.
Right.
There's definitely a power dynamic there. So
for
me, the whole don't touch me thing, I'm not as, like that's like women will come up and just want to hug me. Dudes will come up and be like, yo, and they'll go to slap me a pound.
Yeah.
And I'll slap and pug and we'll embrace. And they'll like hug me and they'll look at me and they'll hug me again. They'll be like, yo, like you like a real person. I'm like, yeah, dude, like that's...
yeah.
I'm a person. Just know that. And anything I can do, you can do.
Yeah.
So just think about
that's
that.
That's great. And that's a great like transfer of energy too.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more just like germaphobe. Like, I just don't like to touch people. And I've always been that way, y'all, since like early. Okay. Respect their privacy. Everyone does not need to know a celebrity is in the vicinity. A private situation in a public place, i.e. a hospital visit, should not be exploited or shared.
That was, yeah.
And we have had people who come over and they'll whisper, I'm not going to make it hot.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that.
And the people
too.
Who do that, we appreciate
y'all. Yeah, they'd be like, I'm not gonna make it hot, but I see you. I love you. And we're always like, we love you back.
Love you
like,
too.
Thank
we love you.
You
too.
So that's always funny. Don't take photos and videos without their permission. This is rude, weird, and inappropriate. Consent is required for everyone. Again.
And that's not just for celebrities, because I do see
anybody.
People take pictures of other people in public and they sometimes do it to make fun of that
joke.
Person.
Yeah.
And that's you shouldn't do that, man.
Yeah.
That's messed up, yo.
Yeah. Tell them who you are. If the situation is appropriate for a conversation, introduce yourself. Tell them why you love their work. Everyone loves a good compliment. And stay calm. At the end of the day, celebrities are just regular people. Like, we are regular
Facts.
People. We promise y'all.
Facts.
Definitely, definitely. All right, let's take a quick break. And we're going to move into listener letters after we get into these ads. So stick around, y'all.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs classic clogs and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's power in every purchase because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one. to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Near, yes, Near, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
All right, and we're back for listener letter time, and then we'll wrap it up with a moment of truth. Hey, Deval and Kadeen, I wanted to take the time to say thank you for setting good, healthy Black relationships for other generations, while also asking for some advice. I'm 28 years old, and my boyfriend, also the father of my kids, is turning 30 this year. We have two beautiful daughters who are 5 and under. I love my daughters unconditionally, but their attitudes try my patience. That's why I don't have no daughters, child, because God already knew that maybe I'd been hemming up some chicks up in here. Not the issue this year, though. I have been doing some self-reflecting and ask him straight up, does he think I need to be softer? His answer instantly was yes. Mm. Now my question is, how do I do that? I work full time, pretty much do everything with my girls. He's the fun parent. But just realizing I don't know how to show my softness without feeling like a pushover and being soft with the wrong things, and also wanting to be able to show my daughter a healthy relationship. Recently, my four almost 5-year-old started paying more attention and asking why we aren't married yet. And I think this plays a big part of it. Mm. He said he doesn't want to get married, just proposing on his own timeline. Please let me know.
No, he said he does want to get married.
He said he does want to get married, just proposing on his own timeline. Okay, so yes. like most men have their timeline. Mm. Please let me know something. First of all,
punctuation.
We need punctuation because this is literally a big paragraph of words. But I get the gist here is that she feels like she cannot tap into her feminine soft side because... Yeah. She is working full time and doing all the things and getting caught into the routine. So I think her question is, or possibly one of the questions here is part of the reason why she's not soft because she's not married, you know, and then she wants to set an example for her daughter.
Well, there's a lot of things here. The first thing I see is she says, I love my daughters unconditionally, but their attitudes try my patience. Attitudes are learned behaviors. You got to ask yourself, where did your daughters learn that attitude? Mm. That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. I had to learn that as a father, right? Mm-hmm. Certain things about my sons used to get on my nerves. And I used to say to myself, remember I said, children is the greatest reflection?
Yeah.
And then you look and you be like, oh, he learned that from me.
He sure did.
And it's like, oh.
Like I think some things are innate. Like, you know how some kids might be the sassier one. Yeah. It's just like, why is this one, like that one in particular got a little edge to them? You know what I'm saying? But you're right. A lot of it is learned. Like I've even seen it now that I reflect as an adult, like, wow, the way I deal with things or say things sometimes, it's a direct reflection of how we used to communicate in my house. Yeah. So that's true.
That's the first thing she has to ask herself, you know, if your daughter's attitudes try your patience, how will your daughter's attitudes try their partner's patience in the future? Mm. And if you want to be a good example, how can you be a better example so that your daughters don't go through what it seems like you're going through? Because she asked her husband, do you think I can be softer? And he immediately said yes, which means this is something he probably feels the same way about your attitude that you feel about your daughter's attitudes.
I'm wondering if this feeling of not being able to be soft in this moment of your life is a byproduct of your childhood and how you were raised. Yeah. Like, did you feel like you had to be more assertive? Did your mom raise you to be the independent woman that don't need nothing and wants to be in charge of everything and has the final say? Like, was that a part of what your life looked like when you were growing up?
Right.
Or was that learned behavior? Did you feel like you had to get like that because your husband, or not your husband, but the father of your children, who you eventually want to marry, is he more of the quiet type that's more of the pushover? You know, I'm wondering what the dynamic is of their relationship and why he's the fun dad, you know, or the fun parent, where you're the one that's always the serious one. Because nobody really likes to always be like the killjoy either.
No, and I know part of this with dads, like they're young girls, they're 5 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to relate. You've never been a young girl before. So it's like, how do I, as a grown man, relate with my daughter? It's difficult for some men to find that space to relate. So it's like, I leave them with their mom until they can grow up, and then we can do things together, you know? I see some men do that, but I am interested in knowing, like, if she goes to work all day and she's with the kids, is he not providing a space for her to be soft?
That was going to be my question.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, does she not have the comfort to try to be soft?
Right. But what I'm saying is like, she also said that they've had financial issues.
Mm.
He said he's waiting on his own timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly the financial reasons are the reasons why he hasn't proposed yet.
True.
But if him not proposing is also getting her agitated and making her not soft, that's something that they need to discuss.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
It can be a layered effect here.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it could be a layered effect.
You're not providing her with the space.
Her anxiousness, you think?
To be honest, it might not even be anxiousness. It might be resentment now. Like, they have 2 kids. They're both under 5 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, hey, we have 2 children. Like, we're doing the house thing. How come you haven't made me your wife?
Mm.
That is not anxiousness. Now it's resentment.
Right.
Resentment makes you hard.
Or she might have the philosophy where, I'm not doing wife things until I'm a wife. So I'm going to continue to move like a woman who's independent and single-ish, you know what I mean? Or in a relationship, yes, but not in a marriage.
Which is very true.
And she might be reserving that for when they finally do get married. That might be part of her philosophy too.
Which can be difficult, because I know some people say you reserve wife activities for when you're a wife.
Mm-hmm.
But then you won't accept a man reserving husband activity until you become husband. You expect a man to be a husband so that, you know what I'm saying?
It's sex.
Like, people That's have to true. Sit down and have conversations about what they require even before they get married.
Mm-hmm.
Show me how we're going to live together. This whole wait until we get married thing, until, to me, doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Because I'm not going to sit back and hope that once we get married, you change to be the person that I expect. I want to see that you can be that because you want to be that. So hopefully.
Yeah, I think early on, because even early on with you and I, like, I treated you
like your husband.
Like my husband, but that was just innate. Like, I feel like I wanted to take care of my man. Like,
that's my point.
And it wasn't me just trying to, you know, hold on to this, like, put my feet in the cement and I'm like, I'm not gonna budge because you haven't put a ring on it yet. Even when we were debating about being engaged and like the timeline for being married, and you told me you had a plan, and I didn't necessarily know what your plan was or know your timeline, nor that I agree with it. That didn't take away from me still taking care of you. You know,
no,
what
it
I'm
didn't.
Saying?
And so, you also showed me, you also said it when you felt like it was taking too long. Like, Devon, I don't want to be your living girlfriend.
Yeah.
And you had said at that point, I'm not going to just stay here and be a living girlfriend. You didn't say, I'm not going to treat you the way you should be treated.
Yeah.
You just said, DeVal, this doesn't work for me. And I had to make a decision.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes couples just have to have that conversation. And I treated you like you were my wife from
you
the
sure
minute
did.
We-
You took care of me.
Yeah, we did. Early. We've been doing that since we were 18.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
I never understood that mindset, but good luck to you,
Yeah, good luck to you. And I think just have the conversations with him. I think there's some like underlying like just questions and clarity that probably could be worked out and could come to the surface if you have those conversations with him and see how he's going to be willing to help you get into that soft era.
Thanks.
All right. Good luck to you, sis. Second question today.
Question number 2. Dear Kadeen and DeVal, I've been listening to podcasts from the beginning, and even though me and my boyfriend aren't married as of yet, our relationship started when we were kids too, 18 to be exact, just like us. Most people would say we're still kids in our early 20s, but we've been together 5 years now. And there's one thing I can't seem to shake. I feel less than or not equal to my man. Let me explain. Since day one, he has known what his plan of life was going to be. He was fresh off the boat, as I like to say, when we met, coming from Jamaica. His first plan with college didn't go as planned, but being the great man he is, got straight to the second plan and started working. All while he was putting his plan into action, I was a struggling first-generation college student and a working one at that. He was there for me through my rough times and even encouraged me to look for alternatives to 4-year college since I was having such a hard time, which I did, but ended up leaving college and going into the workforce full time. Fast forward about 2 years in 2023, He is in his career path and supports both of us financially and manages to help out his family as well. Meanwhile, I'm stuck in the same place. I don't know what the hell to do with myself. I've tried entrepreneurship, and it has a lot of up and downs, yes it is, and makes the experience less desirable to me. I've considered going back to school, but honestly, I don't want to put more pressure on my boyfriend, being that we live together and he already does so much for our household. I also am having a hard time finding a career path that I truly would enjoy and find purpose. Luckily, my boyfriend supports any decision. I don't even got to hear this no more. Let me tell you something, mama. Let me tell you something, mama. Your life will not be defined by this moment right here.
Yes.
When Kadeen and I first we first graduated from college, we were in the NFL. When I say we, it's because we did it together. I made all the money. She was a stay at home. I got cut. We need insurance. K working, I'm going to stay at home, right? K working, I'm going to stay at home. I get my second job doing acting, doing all this other stuff. K, you stay at home, I'm working. Now we doing all this other stuff. We both making a lot of money, living the life. It was great, right? I told K, I don't want to do certain things no more. K said, well, I'll pick up that end of the slack and I'll make the money so that we don't miss out on it. The purpose of the story is to tell you that there are going to be seasons for both of you in life. Right now, this may just be his season. Mama.
Yep.
But that don't mean that your season is not coming. You just have to be diligent and trust that you have a man that's going to support you through your downtimes. And when you up, he going to support you when you up. Because that's what me and Kay did. It's been a back and forth. There's never just a one person. I never felt less than when Kay was handling stuff. I never made Kay feel less than when I was handling stuff. That's what the partnership is about.
That's a fact. I mean... Yeah, I think you just said everything perfectly.
I know her feeling, though.
And I was going to say, I know what it's like to be in your 20s and you're just on the fence about what it is that I should do. The fact that you have a boyfriend who is super supportive and has figured himself out. Like, some people are just born that way. Like, some people are born knowing, like, this is what I want to do. They figured it out and then they go directly towards that path.
Yep.
You can still take the time to figure it out, but the great thing about it is that you don't have the stress of having to worry about overhead and things that normal people would have to worry about that don't have that support.
Just don't get complacent.
I was about to say that. I said the only problem with that is that, and I can see because I've been there and it has happened to me in certain circumstances where DeVal has taken care of so much that I was like, well, I mean, I could take another day or two or week or month to put the wheels into motion and what I want to do because I don't have to.
Yeah.
Most people with their backs against the walls have no choice. Like you said, your boyfriend came up from Jamaica. Like, we know what that is
back
like.
Back
against the wall. Got to come up here, make something of myself. There's no other way. But when you do have the leisure of some or the opportunity where someone is taking care of those, you know, those fiscal things that tend to be an issue, then you tend to get complacent. So whatever it is, figure it out, work towards it, but support him in the process if he's the one that's up. Because DeVal and I literally work on a system where whoever is better equipped in that moment, whoever has the opportunity in that moment, it's everybody rally around
that.
It. DeVal booked sisters. What do you need, babe? Everybody rallies around him in this moment to be as successful as he can or needs to be in this moment. Kadeen, you got this going on. Everybody rally around her to make sure that she is in the best situation to be successful. Mm-hmm. And just keep doing that. The reciprocity in that is the beauty. So good luck to you. And if you want to be featured as one of our listener letters, email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com. We're a couple seasons into the Deadass Podcast and we just absolutely love hearing from you guys.
That's right. That's deadassadvice@gmail.com.
All right. Moment of truth. We're talking about fame and fan decorum and what that looks like and how there's like a tandem that goes on, you know, between
the fan
and the celebrity.
It's simple.
What does that look like, baby, for you? Your moment of truth.
We are all people. No one, no matter what their job is, signs up to be your entertainment all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Respect each other as people. If you're a fan, you have to respect the celebrity as a person. Give them some space or time to be able to interact. If you're a celebrity, respect the fan as a person and understand the humanity that comes with that person who supports you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a level of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
If both people can see the humanity in that interaction, we will all be fine.
Everybody will be fine.
We'll be all right. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good one, babe. I guess my moment of truth in this moment is whether you are someone who's in the fame and spotlight or you're a supporter, think about how you'd like to be treated or approach in that moment, you know? Because again, the energy that you put out is likely the energy that you're going to receive on the back end. And just know that you're not entitled to anything from anybody. Anything that you have in terms of an interaction with someone is out of the goodness and good nature of their heart and spirit in that moment. Nobody is entitled to anything when it comes to personal space. So just keep that in mind and continue to love on Deval and I. When you see us in person, say hello.
Yes.
Come say, if you want to ask for the picture, ask for the picture. Make sure I got a filter. Okay. and all that good stuff. But we welcome the love. We genuinely do. And we thank y'all so much. We couldn't do it without you. And we say it all the time.
We say it all the time. And we legitimately mean that.
And we legitimately, and it's not, I'm not saying this just because I'm about to ask y'all to find us on Patreon. I say it at the end of every show, y'all. Y'all know the script already. But find us on Patreon to see exclusive Deadass podcast video content, as well as more Ellis family content. And you can find us on social media at Deadass the Podcast on Instagram. And I am Kadeena. I am.
And I am Deval. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, subscribe, and get your copy of We Over Me, the counterintuitive approach to getting everything you want out of your relationship.
People still getting the books and reading them. I love it.
Yes, ma'am.
I love it. I love it.
Dead ass. Cut.
Dead Ass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Dead Ass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.